Welcome into the First Alert Weather Center. My name is Rich Jones, host of Jacksonville's Morning News on 104.5 WOKV. By my side, Action News Jax's chief meteorologist Mike Burrish on CBS 47 and Fox 30. And as we prepare for the storm, Mike, this isn't just preparing for one storm, one hurricane season. Our goal with a telecast and broadcast like this is all about preparing for a life event and an emergency that may ultimately happen. And being prepared is the most important thing. You always preach it. Stay calm, have a plan.
And we have so many people moving in, Rich, into Northeast Florida that has never experienced a tropical storm or a hurricane. So now is the time to prepare. Certainly don't want people to be afraid. We don't want them to be scared. We talk about that all the time. And that's what this next 20 to 30 minutes is all about, is helping people be prepared. We've got a great panel here that'll be able to help us from much of northeastern Florida, Duval and Nassau and St. John's and Clay County, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. We've got pets that people are concerned about, medications. We're going to cover it all.
And we've got a lot of great resources and years of service to the community. Those who have worked in the field in emergency management year after year. Let's introduce our panel. John Ward leads emergency management in Clay County. John, great to see you once again, and thank you for being a part. Todd Smith from Duval County in the city of Jacksonville. Thank you, Todd, for being here as well. Joe Jamenko, maybe a new face to St. John's County. Joe replaces Linda Stoughton from St. John's. Welcome to St. John's County, and welcome to the First Alert Weather Center. And Tim Cooper, our friend and partner from Nassau County. Baker County Emergency Management unable to be here at this moment, though we do have some helpful advice that you can get if you are a resident of Baker County through your Emergency Management Center. And guys, I told you before we got started, I want to ask you if there's one thing that you want a listener, a viewer to walk away with in terms of overall preparedness. John, why don't we start with you? What is that one thing that you want someone to walk away with and actually take action and do?
I think it's really, as you stated, it's really getting that family preparedness plan, but then also listening to their local officials for the respective areas when that time comes.
Todd from Jacksonville, if I'm new to Jacksonville, if I've been a lifer or anything in between and I've been impacted by Irma or Matthew or even I think of Faye and the flooding that we saw, if there's one thing that you want people to walk away with, what would it be? What message?
Well, there are many resources that families should take advantage of to keep them safe during a storm. Also, you had experiences from the past. Don't necessarily take those experiences and make that what you're going to do in the future. Listen to the authorities.
Joe Jamenko from St. John's County, one of the fastest growing counties in the entire state, one of the fastest in the southeast United States. No pressure, Joe, but you got a lot of new residents. If there's one message, especially for people who are new to St. John's County, what would that be?
Yeah, so I think for us, as you say, with the fastest growing county, I want people to be prepared. I want them to come to our website to look up at all the information that we have. If you're new to the area, especially, go through that list. If they have not experienced a storm before, if they need help, to call us, so we can walk them through it. We can get them prepared for what potentially could happen.
And Tim Cooper in Nassau County, as you move from the law enforcement within emergency management as well, and you get to see your community on a day-in, day-out basis through your eyes, what would be that one message that you want folks in Nassau County to make sure that they hear from you?
It's been spoken to already, but that preparedness, right? So we want to make sure that you create a plan that's specific to you. In Nassau County, we want you to reach out to onenassau.com. In the various counties, they'll do the same. Specifically in our county, we've had the change of the evacuation routes. So please familiarize yourself with those. If you have any questions, reach out to us. Let us know. We'll walk you through it so you can make that personal plan.
We'll have a chance to dive deeper into what's new, what's changed, what's different from years past over the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Chief, I often think of a line that you say on the radio and on TV all the time. There's no just when it comes to a storm, when it comes to any event. So having a plan, being prepared, and knowing specifically what's going to matter to yourself, your property, and your family. Don't be caught off guard by one single forecast or even some of the big picture seasonal forecasts because it could change. It may not even be a hurricane or a weather event. It may be something totally different to be prepared.
Yeah, and that's a fine line between being prepared and knowing what to do and then, of course, the panic that might set in if a storm is actually developing. And the justa comes from a presentation I did years ago at the National Hurricane Conference. There's no such thing as just a tropical storm. Tropical Storm Gene in 2004 killed a teenager in Clay County. Tropical Storm Faye, 2007. Out-of-stater from Michigan goes into the Atlantic water thinking those waves look pretty inviting. didn't come out, a victim of rip currents. We had Tropical Storm Beryl 2012, canceled virtually all the Memorial Day weekend activities back then. And we had Francis and Jean, which came up in 2004 again, lost power for weeks in some cases. So Matthew is recently, 2016. Was not a hurricane hit, and unfortunately, some people think we were hit by a hurricane by Matthew, or Irma a year later in 2017. Those were not anything close to actual hurricanes. So you need to respect the weather, and that's why we preach the justa. There is no such thing as justa, and you should always be prepared. And in the end, we find that preparation results in people being much more calm before, during, and after the storm, and it's important to communicate with your family as well, and the kids the children in your family too, because they're going to mimic whatever the adults are doing.
Todd, communication is an important thing, especially when you think of the diversity in the city of Jacksonville and in Duval County, and throughout the entire community as well. How are you trying to penetrate some of the other different language barriers, other barriers that might exist in a community, to ensure that everyone hears the message of preparation?
So there's a lot of tools online, and our preparedness guide and our plans are available in other languages through Google Translate, but we also specifically translate into Spanish. And then during an activation, if we were to get calls, we'd have a Spanish-speaking person there that could help with that. And then 630 City also has some resources as well to help.
Anyone else want to jump in on how you're communicating to the overall community, not just one specific demographic, to ensure that everyone, no matter what language they may speak, if they're new to the market, if they may even be moving here short term from I think of the war in Ukraine and new people who are coming in, for example, to the Florida community and to the market, how do you communicate this message of preparation to them, John?
So just like what Todd said, we have a Spanish brochure that's on our website at alert.claycountygov.com, but also our call center uses what's called a language line. So anybody that calls in and has a varying language, we're able to translate that and get the appropriate person or the appropriate type of language so we can communicate with them appropriately.
Joe, I think of all the, again, I'm going to harp on the growth in St. John's County. Clearly, we live in St. John's County. We know how fast it's growing. You have to communicate a message in different languages and to people from all across the country and the world who are moving to St. John's County. Is there a concern with making sure that it's a clear and concise message? How do you work to continuously educate so many new people moving into the community?
So I agree. I think we also reach out with different methods of languages. However, we also, in addition to that, go through the community. We are trying to do a lot of outreach. We have more of an elderly population that not necessarily is tech savvy. So we try to go to those pockets of people to show them what we have, show them our preparation plans, explain how these things work. And so they know if they're new to the area, this is how it is. They don't have to try to find that information online. If they so choose, we go to them, and we do a lot of outreach throughout the year, especially right as of now, right before the season starts.
Tim Cooper in Nassau County, you made reference to it earlier, what's new is evacuation zones. How are you communicating the new evacuation zones 2022 versus prior years as well?
We're doing that through a combination of community outreach, where we're going out into smaller parts of the community and handing them our disaster guide. We're also doing it through social media and providing maps there with the new evacuation zones, as well as onenassau.com, which is where we push everyone to in addition to that.
What are some of the biggest changes that you want people to hear in terms of prior years versus this year with evacuations?
It's basically the ways that the zones have been broken down. We've expanded the number of zones, so you may not have to evacuate as many people, depending on the circumstance. So kind of like I spoke to early, making it more specific to that individual and moving forward from there. And if we need to broaden it, we can.
Talk about specifics, Rich. What comes to my mind, things that we never thought about 20 and 30 years ago, for whatever reason, but I was just working out just the other day. A gentleman has moved here from the Northeast and said that their 14-year-old dog is never going to be left at home if they had to evacuate. We have so many opportunities now, shelters that accept, well, there's more than just pets that we have to be concerned about. We have medications. We still are dealing with COVID, of course. How has that evolved and changed, you guys?
So I think that's, you know, since really Hurricane Katrina, there was a lot of federal and state guidance that talked about pets. So all of our counties have pet-friendly shelters. as far as when you speak medication and electrically medically dependent citizens. We have special needs shelters. A lot of that information, if you go to the respective government websites for each of the counties, you can pre-register either your animal or your special medical needs or electrically medically dependent person to get them registered. And we spend a little bit extra time, you know, reaching out to them prior to the storm to make sure they have transportation, they don't need transportation to the respective shelter.
Are you all still managing COVID in a sheltering sort of posture, or is that really kind of a depending on what the caseloads look like?
Well, there's always cleaning that's going to occur, and we're going to make sure that it's safe. But the restrictions on the sizes of the amount of space that somebody will have in a shelter now, as opposed to during COVID, is back to the way it was before COVID.
Do you need to evacuate very far? Evacuation zones are changing in St. Johns County, right, Joe?
Correct. We also have updated our evacuation zones. What we have found is that we were able to really look at the population group that needs to be evacuated and kind of tailor it to that instead of drawing broad strokes of evacuation zones. The less people you move, the less chances you have of, you know, any injuries or clogging the roads. So we wanted to really pinpoint where the evacuation zones needed. Our evacuation zones are within the county. We, you know, preach now, don't look to evacuate hundreds of miles, look to tens of miles. You know, if you have friends that are or family that are in a non-evacuation zone, that might be your best bet to go first instead of evacuation shelter. But the shelters are available. As John said, we have pet friendly, we have special needs shelters. Those are all available to the residents just like every other respective county.
Yeah, and all of the counties have really good platforms. For Jacksonville, it's JacksReady.com, all of our social media platforms, the JacksReady app, which if you have location services on your phone, then you'll know if you're in evacuation zone when you turn on the app and check that. You'll also know whether or not the OC is activated and where shelter locations are. The shelters for each of the counties are going to be dependent on the severity. So you want to make sure that shelter is open. Check the resources, check the news, and see which ones are open. And also, if you are going to be taking advantage of a pet-friendly shelter, then make sure that you check that as well.
You know, we're close to it, but I recall a few years ago when we got together for a hurricane expo, an aha moment when I overheard someone say, I didn't know there was a difference between an evacuation zone and a flood zone. Is that a common misperception? How do you address that?
Yeah, it is a common misperception. And for each of the counties, we use very sophisticated systems to go down to the parcel to decide what that evacuation zone will be. As Joe said, it's not hundreds of miles, it's tens of miles. We don't want to evacuate people unnecessarily. So each one of those zones is down to a specific property, and it's based on storm surge, and storm surge can range from a foot to 20 feet. And that's where it's important to listen to the authorities on what the impacts might be.
Evacuation is such a, it's constantly evolving. I think we would all agree it's been a long time since we've had a landfalling hurricane on our soil. For one thing, the difference between now and the last landfalling hurricane, 1964, on our coast in particular, and inland really too, is dramatically different, not to just mention the number of people. And I love the idea and the point, and we try to emphasize this, you don't have to go to Atlanta, Nashville, the Pacific Northwest, to escape this hurricane or tropical storm that might be moving in. If you're in an evacuation zone, you do just need a few miles, typically is going to keep you much safer. And people should realize that even if they're not in an area that's being evacuated, it's not necessarily perfectly safe. And this goes back to that justa. Be careful with your justa. And if you have an old oak tree overhanging your house, that's something to be concerned about during a tropical storm or a hurricane.
John, were you going to jump in?
And I think continuing what Mike said, you know, that's all part of that family preparedness plan. Now make that plan. Am I in an evacuation zone? Do I need to move when those orders are given? All of us have respective shelters, but those shelters are really a shelter of last resort. So make that plan. Do you have a friend, family member, as Mike stated, that I can relocate to be a little bit more comfortable than I would on a gymnasium floor at a school or something along those lines?
John Ward is from Clay County. Todd Smith here in Duval County in the city of Jacksonville. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the evacuation zones are important, and knowing whether or not you're going to be affected by a storm is very important, but also your evacuation route. So our overall message is that you want to get a kit, have a plan, know your routes, and also communicate that plan with your family. You don't want to have left your home and your family wonders where you are and you haven't communicated that well. So make sure you communicate the plan that John was talking about to your family and have a meeting place as well, whether that's a shelter or whether that's another place that's a safe refuge. refuge. Let them know and make sure they know where you're going to go.
Joe Jamenko is from St. Johns County, and Tim Cooper in Nassau County also rounding out the panel as we're in the First Alert Weather Center and really trying to prepare you as best we can for really any major event that happens in your life, whether it be a fire or a flood, or in the case of hurricane season, either a landfalling hurricane or impacts from a hurricane. Chief, we saw from Elsa in the 2021 year, we didn't have a hit from a hurricane in Jacksonville, but we had a near miss in downtown with a tornado. And I remember you and Corey Sima here in the First Alert Weather Center on the radio. I could hear the concern in your voice. That is a 25-minute window of time from a days-long event leading up to and after the storm. It only takes one small moment for something possibly catastrophic to happen.
We go right back to Justa. Elsa was a tropical storm. It wasn't a hurricane. Dropped a EF1 tornado in Jacksonville, just south and southeast of downtown, not far from our studios right here. So I know, Todd, you guys were dealing with that tornado. Same storm developed another tornado near the Florida-Georgia border that moved up into southeastern Georgia and did damage. Those are the byproducts of tropical storms that we have to be very concerned about. Tornadoes touching down. John, I'll bet you remember Debbie, 2012, Clay County. Dramatic flooding in 2012, 2017, Irma. Tropical storm, it no longer was a hurricane, moves up just west of Jacksonville and causes one of the most catastrophic floods downtown Jacksonville has seen, at least since 1849.
And as I think about the short-term moments, and Joe and Tim maybe jump in on this one, the messaging that needs to come from emergency management, from the First Alert Weather Team, on the changing dynamics of a forecast, not to get lulled into the seven-day, the cones and all that, continue to monitor the update, because it may be that that's the most impactful thing for your family or property, Joe.
Correct. We take the lead of the meteorologists, and we hear a lot of it. The wiggles matter. You know, a little bit of left, a little bit of right, it changes the dynamic of what the impact's going to be. I was here for Matthew, and I remember, you know, Matthew was a pretty significant storm barreling down on us, and it just happened to turn a little bit to the right, and you know, we still had significant impacts, but it could have been a lot worse. And so, you know, we want people not to be complacent, not to just see one forecast and say, oh, that's the way it's going to be, and then, you know, continue on down the road. We want them to continually monitor to the forecast as well as emergency management and their messages to the public.
Tim, we often will hear someone days in advance of a storm, this could be a big wind event, this could be a big water event, this could be a big storm surge event. Is that dangerous in some ways to communicate to the community level that what might be the greatest impact?
I think it's important to have them be aware that that may be what they're facing. Locally, and I know that they do it elsewhere, but you can sign up for weather alerts, again, through our onenassau.com. Highly recommend that. So then when you have those tornadoes that spin off from storms, you have that weather event, and it's affecting your immediate area, you get alerts directly on your phone for that. So you can have the broad knowledge and have that preparation, but then also when it's right on your doorstep, you can be made aware of that through alerts.
Tim, that's a perfect opportunity for us to segue into the First Alert app and the weather app and the opportunity to download and get those alerts and the 104.5 WOKV app, or to have a NOAA weather radio. That's impactful as well to have, because you might have that short term. Mike, do you think that there's a sense of insecurity that can come with saying that this is going to be a big wet water event or a big wind event? Or does that help to familiarize an audience with this might be the greatest impact that we have with a storm?
Well, I think it's certainly part of the forecast, and it's ever-changing. We all have talked about that today. The one thing I hear about that shocks me still to this day when it comes to forecasting the weather and in tropical storms and hurricane situations will be like, well, 3 days ago you said, or it said, and the weather changes in 5 minutes or less around here. So to base how you're going to treat a storm or prepare for it we don't want you to listen to us every minute of the day if you don't want to, but in a, you know, in
we do.
Yes, we do, but you know, we understand that not everybody's going to do it that way. But when it comes to a serious weather situation, you need to constantly get updates, and I always go back to Hurricane Michael, Category 5 storm that devastates the Florida Panhandle in 2018. On Sunday, the 7th of October, it just gets named. It's barely a storm, and 3 days later, it's barreling into the Florida Panhandle as a Category 5 hurricane. And I went there a few months later to do follow-up stories and heard person after person say, well, it was just a tropical storm on Sunday. that just doesn't work. You have to stay up to date on the latest forecast. And I'm curious, you guys, on your website and your text alerts, if you're signed up to get that information through your county, will the evacuation zones that are being told to evacuate, will that data be readily available then per zip code or address?
We've actually got, Clay County actually has their evacuation zones preloaded into that. So as we do an Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, whatever it may be, evacuation zone, we can send that information out to them along with working with our media partners and social media to get that out. And then continuing on as to what you said, I think we all joke as a team is we truly live our lives in 6-hour increments at that point, you know, and we need our citizens to make sure, especially with all our social media platforms, it's very easy to pick up an older forecast or an older post. Make sure you're getting the most up-to-date information as you're seeing, because as we've seen the past few storms, they can change significantly. Most of the time it's been for the better for us, but really paying attention, because at each 6-hour increment it can change very quickly.
Todd, you want to jump in?
Yeah, so when the mayor makes, for Jacksonville specifically, when the mayor orders an evacuation, it's going to be communicated in many different ways. If the community ever wants to know and is unsure, 630 City, if they ever want to know and check, jacksready.com and the many other ways to do that. But going back to the whether we end up getting impacted by the storm or not, I think the community needs to know that there are families that have been affected. I didn't get affected, you know, by this storm. Well, there are families that do, and it could be catastrophic. As you know, we talk about, you know, fatalities that occur before, during, and after a storm, sometimes more often after a storm, because people get out and they start clearing trees off their homes, or they get entwined in power lines that are still energized. Many different things can happen. It's about keeping your family safe. If you have a chance to keep your family safe, then do that with the best and most abundant knowledge that you can do so that you can keep them safe.
I often think about, and this is maybe because of the traffic that we do every 6 minutes in the morning on Jacksonville's Morning News, the traffic implications and the potential of bridges closing. Is there anything new and different? I think of Nassau County and the bridge to get over the river, to get over the intracoastal. Is there anything, Tim, that's different this year? Any new parameters that are in place?
Obviously, we're very thankful that State Route 200 finished construction, so that is our evacuation route. So it being completed in construction now is great for us. We also have the state of Florida's first diamond interchange, which is really helping us move traffic through that area. So we're optimistic. We're still going to follow the evacuation guidelines that are set forth, but we're optimistic on being able to move traffic out of that area. So it's the biggest change for our personal community.
And is that still a sustained wind speed in addition to if there's an evacuation ordered in a storm as a result of potential storm surge?
Yeah, one of the biggest questions we probably all get in coastal communities is when is the bridge shutting down? So that's a 39 miles an hour sustained winds. We will shut down both the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge and the bridge that leads off the south end to Big Talbot. You know, that's not until the storm gets here. The evacuations needed to happen a long time before that ever happens.
And yet people don't always follow that message. How are you about to say that?
Well, I'll say that, you know, the bridges are sometimes periodically closed, and that's really based on a law enforcement officer that is there at the bridge that is reporting back to our respective emergency operations centers and telling us this bridge needs to close for now. Well, then, as everybody knows, the storms come through and there's bands of wind, and that may not be, you know, continuous for a period of time. So just as, you know, said, the evacuation needs to occur. Ideally for all of us and for the community, they're evacuating before tropical storm force wind onset, before the winds get here, having your plan well in advance and making sure that you're where you're going to be before that occurs. And traffic on roadways is affected by evacuation orders. So the thing for families to do is plan early. And if they're going to evacuate, put that plan into effect as early as they can.
I'm interested in one thing, because John, you've done this for a few years. We were half joking about that beforehand, but you've done this for a few years. And Joe, you're relatively new in terms of to the community and to emergency management. What keeps you up at night? Biggest worry?
I think the biggest thing, and we discuss it because we all collaborate very closely, is the complacency of the community. Or as Mike said earlier, you know, we have folks that think they've been through Hurricane Irma, that think they've been through Hurricane Matthew, when we truly haven't had the sustained winds of a tropical storm or a hurricane in Northeast Florida since Dora. We've had gusts, And we've had significant impacts in many of our communities due to that. So just heeding those local orders and trying to get through the complacency of both our existing community members and then our new community members that are coming in and making sure they understand it. Please heed those orders when they're given. Because most of the time when they're given, it's gonna be beautiful and sunshiny out. Because we've got to make those decisions and get folks cleared out of the area, as Todd said, before the onset of tropical storm force winds.
And Joe, while you work with a team of experienced people who have decades and decades of knowledge behind you in the Emergency Operations Center, through a newer set of eyes, I guess, to St. Johns County, what then keeps you up at night?
So what keeps me up at night, particularly for our county, is all the new people coming to our county that haven't experienced a storm before or any significant weather event. And my worry is that they're not going to be prepared. And we do a very significant outreach to those folks to let them know that they need to be prepared. They need to understand what's going on prior to the storm. It's now is the time to go through that hurricane plan. It's not when the storm is coming and then they're trying to figure out what to do. We have a lot of people coming to our county, and I believe they're either going to be very worried right away and then they're going to leave, or they're going to be, oh, well, let's just wait till the last minute before we actually go. As John said, we want people to heed the evacuation orders and understand what's going on, but they want them to understand it now. Now is the time to understand all those orders, what that means, what does evacuation order mean, what is your evacuation route, how do you actually get out, what roads are you going to use. We want them to do that now, and with a lot of new people coming in, that's where I worry about.
Todd, we'll give you the closing thought from emergency management from the city of Jacksonville and through Duval County. And again, you all collaborate on a regular basis, so everyone is working together before, during, and after storms.
Yeah, your local emergency managers are talking, and historically we've always talked during evacuation decisions so that all the counties are well informed of what the other county might be doing or what the anticipated plans might be. But we really want to try to get the community to not be discouraged by preparing should happen all day, all year long, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive to clear gutters or look around your yard. Now, when you get into putting shutters on houses and things like that, but one of the things that we all have encouraged folks to do is when you're building your kit, use your kit as a repository. Use your kit as a place that you keep your batteries so that your batteries are always fresh. Use your kit as a place for canned or non-perishable foods, but cycle them into your daily life. Things are expensive. They don't have to be made to be expensive. And we just want the community to heed the warning that now's the time to prepare, but prepare for year-round, because at any point, any one family could be affected by something.
To our community partners, thank you, and continue to work with us, and we will work with you to get the message out over and over and over again. On the radio, a battery-powered radio is essential if your power goes out. Tune to 104.5 FM or the Cox Media Group network of radio stations. There are 8 in Northeast Florida. We have you covered in the event of major power outages. CBS 47, Fox 30, Action News, Jackson, the First Alert Weather Team, the First Alert Weather App, and I often think about, Mike, what you say at the close of every podcast every day: take care of yourself and one another.
And Talking the Tropics with Mike, I update it every single day. And that's not just a plug, it is a very no-nonsense blog and column. At the beginning, if there's anything at all impacting the U.S. or anywhere close to Jacksonville, it starts with, here's what I expect to be the impacts. And then I'll go through some of the other nerdy weather stuff that I might want to cover that's dictating how the storm's behaving and what's going to happen. So that's another good resource. And you guys are priceless, and all your coworkers and all the work that the county level does. And we are a team when it matters.
Mm-hmm. We do.
When lives matter and when critical information is being put out there and it might be evacuations, we're all working as a team.
We appreciate your continued partnership. We appreciate the partnership with the Action News Jax team as well. And thank you for your time and attention from the First Alert Weather Center, preparing for the storm.